Hello again, everybody. This is Brian Shearer. Andy is not here this week, so with me is...
Marty Blevins, here for your listening enjoyment. This week, I'm going to be taking Andy's role in reviewing a few comics. I'm not going to do quite as good a job as he does, but I'll take you through a few of the high points of my reading lately, and a couple of the low ones, too. Probably one of my favorite points in the last couple of weeks is 52, number 24. Sorry, week 24 of 52.
What week is that for you?
I'm actually keeping up pretty good with them now. I'm hitting the stores probably once every 2 weeks now.
Okay.
The joy of this is that this is the first time in a post-crisis, the original crisis book, that we have seen for a very long time, Ambush Bug.
Ambush Bug. I don't know who that is.
Ambush Bug holds a place that is near and dear to my heart. He's right up there with the Legion of Substitute Heroes and the Inferior Five. Some of those great comedic voices that got silenced by the original Crisis. And this one, Ambush Bug shows up as a member, however briefly, of the somewhat Justice League that is formed within 52. Apparently this one doesn't last very long, but it's actually very, very funny, and if you like funny, you can't get better than Ambush Bug. And this issue of 24 with Jack Bauer and Ambush Bug together again, fighting crime. But this issue of 52, issue 24 of 52, is a really it's a good read. I like it. It's funny. I'm still not 100% sure where they're going with this. They're just about at that. They're a little past actually the halfway point now, and they're starting to get into some story. But you've had a lot of build up, and a lot of different stories trying to coalesce. And so hopefully we'll see where this all is going in the not too distant future. Speaking of, though, the Justice League. They try to form a miniature version of it in here, but the real Justice League, quote-unquote, that is coming out in, of all things, the Justice League of America comic, also by DC. This one written by Brad Meltzer, and Ed Benes and Sandra Hope involved in there, too. I will say this. It's the Justice League. Justice League books are always going to be cool. I'm going to say that if you haven't bought the individual issues of this, you're not missing a whole lot. This is going to make an incredible trade someday. For the individual issues, there's maybe not a whole lot happening in them. This is issue 2. There was a 0 issue, and then a 1, and then a 2. And there's a lot of story going on in this, but there's still a lot of disjointed stories, and our primary players, the big three, I guess, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, basically their role in all of these issues has been to sit around a table staring at photos and deciding who's in the new Justice League and who's not. Meanwhile, all those heroes who they're trying to make their decisions on are already teaming up with other heroes, so I'm not really sure what their ultimate role is going to be in all this. The story, the art is incredible. It's beautiful. The storyline with the Red Tornado is just fabulous. I might have to hold these off for a few weeks and then just read them all in one big chunk, because I'm still just waiting for something to happen. All right.
So that was 52-24.
52 and 24. Yeah. And Justice League of America number 2.
Right. Of America.
That's right. And also from the DC side, there's a couple of reads that are not caught up in all this 1 year later so much, this 52 stuff. Two of them are Supergirl titles. One is the actual Supergirl, and the other is the Supergirl Legion of the Superheroes. I actually really adore these books. I love them because they are so separate from all this other stuff that's happening. You've got your universe-shattering stuff over here. Meanwhile, in Supergirl, basically, Supergirl number 10 is basically this Supergirl's attempt at an alter ego And those who have followed the Supergirls and their many incarnations over the years have known that Supergirl's always had this kind of a nerdy brunette alter ego. And so Supergirl number 10 really starts to explore that in her life in this high school. And I think they do a really good job of capturing high school life, especially high school life for girls.
And you would know, wouldn't you?
Well, I have three sisters. And
right.
So, yeah. And I work with all women, so.
Including so you would know.
You. But, the interesting thing about it is they do all the cliche stuff that you would expect with, you know. But they do manage to get into some really more in-depth stuff. It ends in a way that I would not have expected. There's the popular girl dumping, you know, it looks like, I'm not sure, dumping disgusting things on her at some point to make her look really bad. And there's a bit of a Carrie moment happening toward the end. And then it kind of ends in a way that I did not see coming. And I'm glad they picked the direction that they did with this. Even though it's not one I probably would have done, it's not one I would have expected. So the art is still excellent. The proportions on these teenage girls may be a little off, but...
I don't know what you're talking about.
But it's still a good read, and it doesn't get bogged down too much in its own mythology, which I think you're starting to see a lot of the major league books do. Meanwhile, in Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes, somehow this girl is, you know, 1 year later happening in her own time and also 3,000 years later, so she gets around. But I was reading number 22, and I'm just constantly surprised by how good the writing is in this book. So if you haven't checked out Legion of Superheroes, please, please go at least grab a book. Issue 22 is really good because it is kind of a standalone. It does arc in with several other issues, but it works well as a standalone issue in and of itself. And the last surprise hit from DC is, for me, is Shadow Pact. Shadow Pact is... it did come out of the initial run of I can't even remember. I think I've mentioned this in this podcast before. Shadow Pact was one of the it was born out of one of those prequel events they did for Infinite Crisis, and the stories are by written by Bill Willingham, who readers may know from the Fables book.
Right.
And Fables works so well for me because it's just so quirky and offbeat, and you just you never know what he's going to throw at your characters. And Willingham actually keeps that going in Shadow Pact, which features several of your, well, I was going to say B-level, but I'd say probably C or D-level heroes, including Blue Devil and Detective Chimp from the DC Universe, and puts them all together in this hodgepodge of just beauty. And in this issue, he is throwing them up against a legion of hellhounds, is what it looks like. So, again, it's one of those that is just so out there and so constantly on the edge that you have to love it. It's just one of those. It reads like a tame Vertigo book. And those who are into the Vertigo line, for the storylines, this will give you something pretty close to that in a semi-mainstream book. I'm really digging the Shadow Pact. Now, on the other side of the pond, let's talk about Marvel, some highs and some lows. In Marvel, the high definitely has to go with the Ultimates this week. The Ultimates Volume 2, number 12, just came out, and, okay, it was a little bit late, but the art in this thing is just incredible. The action that happens page after page after page after page, it's incredible. I mean, it's like a fully scripted fight scene the entire time, but not in that like annoying way that you can't ever tell what's going on.
Like so, Transformers.
Right. The only complaint I have is this X-Men First Class thing that they stuck in the middle, because only because I flipped and didn't realize that I was in the middle of a different story. And I was
like,
"Oh,
you do that too?
Yeah,
yeah. That's worse than an ad, isn't it?" When you think, "Well, they must have had a fill-in artist for these three pages. Why is Wolverine in this story?"
So they really the team on this one. Let's see, it's Miller, Hitch, Neary, and Martin. They took this and made you realize again why the Ultimates are the Ultimates in the Ultimate Universe. It's actually funny though. At the end too, you get your big splash page of which I'm not going to tell you what's on that big splash page, but there's a big splash page, and then you flip the page and there's another. It's an ad, but again, it kind of looks like the art is in a similar vein. It's an ad for Civil War, and so like all of a sudden you got your big epic moment. And you turn the page and hey, that's Namor. What's he doing on there?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, just another example of that. But then there's the classic Superstars of Wrestling at the very end to tie it all in.
You know, I'm just waiting for when they start selling the itching powder again and the x-ray glasses and the plans for the hovercraft.
The plans for the hovercraft, which involve the gasoline-powered dryer.
I think maybe I should just go ahead and start looking for the gasoline-powered dryer.
Gasoline-powered dryer.
Right,
I probably would do that. I picked up this week Ultimate Power, which continues along in the Ultimates universe, is actually, even though they have they have Ultimate Spider-Man, they have the Ultimates, and they have the Ultimate Fantastic Four on the front, this issue, 1 of 9, really focused on the Ultimate Fantastic Four side of the story. And basically what this is, it seems to be tying in the Supreme Power lines that came through, which were the revamping of Squadron Supreme, and it seems like these characters are going to be introduced into the Ultimate Universe, which may seem a little bit redundant actually, because they were very very much along that Ultimate line anyway. But I can't say a whole lot about what their role is going to be, because they really didn't show up until the very end of this. Now, there was a whole lot of lead-in and great story. I'm reminded why Bendis is such a great writer on a lot of these characters, because he does manage to make each character his or her own individual, and that takes talent. It really does. And for you, Brian, this is a Bendis book. I see not one panel. Well, okay, that one's got 5 bubbles in it, but there's not a whole lot of not a whole lot of words in it.
All right, well, I may have to check that one out. I mean, they're not like back at the headquarters talking about stuff.
There's no
soliloquies or anything in the park.
I don't see. Let's see. There's one page with Banner, but okay, all right. There's a little bit of discussion in there, but there's more than enough action to make up for it, and a Nacho Libre ad.
Boy, that's kind of dated. I hope that's for the DVD.
Yeah. This is a really late book.
You should really update your ads if your book is going to be late.
I do have one little, also from the Marvel side, and this is the 666 universe, not 686 universe.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. The normal universe.
Right.
This is the Civil War tie-in. You know what? Marvel, you suck.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. thanks for tuning in tonight. All our ad revenue from Marvel is gone.
We had ad revenue?
Oh, well, I wasn't going to tell you.
Oh, all right. No, it's only because I have, through thick and thin on this Civil War thing, I have been all along, I have been touting, okay, this is great because it is balanced. You can see both sides of the story. You can see both sides of the story. But in The Amazing Spider-Man number 535 and The Fantastic Four number 540. Now, these are both written by Straczynski, and they tie in together. There's some scenes from each one that are included in the other. And so you can kind of see, you know, from this perspective and then from that perspective. But the general perspective you get is, you know what, this fair and balanced thing? Yeah, you know what? Tony's a Nazi. Tony Stark, Iron Man, is a Nazi. That's what you get from these two issues. And there's just No doubt about it. The thing that I really liked about Civil War up until this point is that you could kind of see both sides. I mean, you could kind of see Tony just doing the things that were legally allowed for him to do. He was just kind of, yeah, but in this one, he's a Nazi. So, pick a side. Yeah, it's Captain America's side. Just go ahead and give up. Game over. All of course, right. I guess it's not really helped by the fact that one of the main characters, Tony Stark, his side of the story might have been told in his own book, but that is so far behind that they've not even yet started with Civil War and Iron Man. So I think that's happening this week.
Right.
So any hope of catching that side of the story is kind of out the window. So my recommendations, hit the Ultimates. If you're a Civil War reader, I mean, you're in it this far, might as well go ahead and finish the story out. But
when is the story supposed to be finished?
That's a good question. There was the delay, which
there was a delay. I haven't been able to get to my comics in like 2 months. I have no idea what's going on.
You've missed out on quite a bit though. There was a Civil War delay that actually caused Marvel to put all of its books or all of its tie-in books on hold for a month, I'd say.
Well, I really haven't missed anything, have I? I've missed a lot, and yet nothing at all.
So, that's how big... I mean, I do give Marvel its props for treating it with the proper, not just throwing something together, but giving them time to actually get something done. But that's a big move, putting all that on hold. So I hope I hope it pays off for them.
Yeah.
Even though I hate you. I mean, but I keep buying your stuff. I will say this, I'm buying more Marvel now than I have ever bought in my life.
Well,
so
that's,
buying more I hate Marvel you, but it works.
More, are you buying more Marvel than DC is the question.
In this stack, I have, there's an X-Factor too, which I haven't read yet. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. DC and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Marvel. So that's actually catching up.
Uh-oh. Nice. You're slowly being taken in.
Yeah. Yeah. Got some independence too, but eh.
All right.
Who buys independence?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So that's my lowdown on the
your comic roundup with the shun of the independents.
Again, if I had to label it, I'd say for Marvel, by X Factor and the Ultimates. For DC, Shadow Pact is good. Legion, Supergirl and the Legion is good. Supergirl number 10 is good. If you're not a completist, wait for the trade on Justice League. But that's pretty good comic reading here in the last couple weeks.
Well, hopefully I'll be able to get over there in, maybe a week or so. Hmm. And maybe buy half the books that have piled up. I emailed the manager and said, don't flush them.
Right.
So he said, okay. But that was a couple weeks ago. They may have been, sold off to the highest bidder by this point.
Right.
So that does it for your comics, huh?
You have to love the comic book shops where you say, oh, you're sold out of that. Maybe the next time it comes in, you can give me something. He says, hold on. It goes in the back and comes back with, where did that come from?
Box number 97, Brian Shearer.
He hasn't been here in a couple of days.
This guy's been here in a month.
But I have a friend. We have a mutual friend who used to go in probably once a quarter, and if that, and he would pick up. Actually, when he was away at college, he still had his pull list pulled, and he would come back at the end of on a break or at the end of semester and buy
$200 worth of comics.
Absolutely.
And I've been in there when he spent over $100.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what happens.
See, I used to freak out when I would go to comic book shops and I'd see these guys lay down, like $20-25. I'm like, how can you do that? Yeah, I'm like 35-40 now. So.
Yeah, I used to spend 40, and then I dropped a bunch of stuff because it started sucking, fortunately.
Yeah.
in the you know.
It was very thoughtful of them.
Yeah, thank you for sucking, so I don't have to spend $40 on comics anymore. But and I've started adding stuff again. I'm sure now you know it's up to like 70 or something because I've been right. piling on.
Right. But well, see, I've noticed this. That if I wait a couple weeks, I usually come out cheaper because otherwise, if I only have a few books, I'm like, oh, well, I got more time, more money I can spend.
Right. Yeah. You browse. You graze.
That's right.
Like. All right. Well, right now, as we're recording this, because it's due to some technical difficulties in Andy's schedule, Heroes is on right now.
Yes, it is.
And my DVR is catching it for me.
As is mine.
Last week's, did you see it?
I did.
What did you think?
I have frequently in my life said, save the cheerleader, save the world. So I'm...
really?
Yeah.
I've said quite the opposite, actually. that's, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at the end of it, I thought was kind of cool.
It was very... You know, I think they're doing just a great job of not making of keeping the superhero flavor without making this a cliche.
Right.
I think it's so far everything I've seen has just been quality, and I'm really digging this series.
Well, they really string you along pretty well from week
yeah.
to week. They get
right.
the cliffhangers, and it's just disorienting enough that you have to keep coming back.
Right.
You're like, what is going on with these people?
Right.
So that's kind of cool, and
it's a part of the new flavor of TV. This new genre, I guess, has kind of been kicked off by shows like Lost.
Yeah.
So that I think they're starting to cater to more of the science fiction demographic.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be.
That's us, Marty.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, as soon as we get done with this, I will be heading into the den, which is good to start a little late so I can breeze through the commercials.
Commercials, right.
But, I'm kind of digging the Lost.
Yeah, you just started, right, with the...
I'm not... Oh, sorry. No, I'm at Heroes.
Okay.
Lost, I'm getting ready to start. I've got your DVDs that I've had for 8 months.
Right.
I've got them ready. I'm going to watch them. I might watch them this week.
Brian is commencing to get ready to watch Lost.
down south, we call it fixing to get ready.
Right.
I'm fixing to get ready to go watch Lost this week, probably when I'm off work.
I got hooked on Lost probably the summer after its first season, and I'm really glad that I wasn't stuck that whole summer with the cliffhanger that was at the end of that one. Just been a Lostaholic ever since, so hopefully you'll get some enjoyment out of it too.
Sure, I will.
Without too many spoilers along the way.
Well, I mean, I don't know anything about the show, honestly, except that Marietta Took is in it. No, he's not Took. What is he? Marion Pippin. I don't know. Mary's in it.
Oh, yeah. So. Yeah.
Except he's tall.
He's still fairly short.
All right. He's not Hobbit short.
Not Hobbit short.
He's not Frodo short. what else is going on? I've been watching the Fantastic Four cartoon. Have you seen this?
I've seen two episodes of it.
Okay.
They're very quality episodes.
I do have one little nitpicky thing I don't like.
Yes.
Reed Richards gets on my last nerve. It's just his voice. He's so whiny, and I don't know what it's just. It's like he's been smoking pot all day, and then he tries to do science.
Right. It doesn't work. Right?
No, it doesn't. I don't know. It's just I just don't think it. I think it's the voice acting really. I just don't like the way the character sounds. It's just kind of like it's not really how I picture Reed Richards sounding. So far, you know, it's...
I think the couple of episodes I've seen have been more centric around the rest of them. But the first one I saw was My Neighbor is a Skrull or something like that.
I think I saw part of that. I got half of that one. I think I fell asleep.
And it was, It was like watching an episode of Bewitched.
Which Darren was in there? Was there a different Reed Richards? Because I might need to. That might be my favorite episode.
The Richard Sargent or Richard?
And Richard York.
Right.
So, yeah, and so Fantastic Four, I've been checking out. I've got my wife is getting mad at me because I had put The Tick on to record on DVR whenever it came on, and I haven't been watching them. So I've got like 30 episodes of The Tick.
Right.
And I've been trying to get through those. Usually if I can't sleep, like last night. You know, here's a little tip for everybody. Don't take a three-hour nap late in the afternoon on a Sunday. Because when you go to bed at midnight, you won't get to sleep until about 4. So I went to bed, and I got up, and I went to the den. And what was I watching? I think Fantastic Four may have been on. And then you have to watch some other stupid things on TV, and I couldn't get to sleep. So I started watching The Tick, and after a couple Tick episodes, I finally went to sleep around between 3 and 4, and then got up about 7:30 and went into work this morning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a steady stream of caffeine kept me going at work. Mm-hmm. And
which, for where you work, that should be fairly easy.
Yeah, working at a coffee shop has its perks. Get it? I also wanted to start something new this week, since this is a show about comics and whatnot. So if you like comic art and you like surfing the web, why not combine the two? So this is the Comic Artists of the Week segment on the internets.
Beautiful.
I don't know where I found these guys. I've kind of been getting into the whole artist blog thing, where the artists will kind of post some of their work every day or every other day or whatever. And I'm kind of digging these guys out of Brazil. They're Fabio Moon and Gabriel. It's just listed as Ba, but they're twin brothers in Brazil. And their web address is fabioandgabriel.blogspot.com. You can go check them out. And they're really good. I'm not sure if they've done any mainstream stuff. I'm looking through their site right now, and I don't think they've done any like mainstream Marvel DC stuff. But they've got some of their own books. They've got some really cool looking little sketches, and I think they do this for a living. Is what it looks like. But they'll post some things, then blog about some stuff they're drawing, and some samples, different kind of stuff, sketches, finished art. So if you like that kind of thing, go and check them out. Fabio and Gabriel, maybe. Fabio is obviously Fabio, and Gabriel, Gabriel.blogspot.com.
Lovely. We can put that in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put that in there. And so go check those out.
All right. Well, and since you're mentioning, are you done with your artists?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, we're done with them. for writers, I've also started getting into some of these blogs that are out there. And if you've not heard of this one, I really need you all to go and check out Chris's Invincible Super Blog. This is probably the funniest thing I have read in a really, really long time, and actually the person, Chris Sims, who writes this, is apparently doing some work now for the newly revamped Cracked magazine.
Ah, nice.
Which I'm looking at his page, and apparently this is number 2, I guess, of the relaunched version, and it looks like it's more humor writing. Again, I'm just looking at the cover. I have nothing to base this on, but there are apparently I'm looking to see. Okay, articles in there by Michael Kupperman, Jay Pinkerton, and Mike Nelson. So Chris's Invincible Super Blog is at the-isb.com. blogspot.com. That would be short for the dash Invincible Superblog. blogspot.com. The funniest thing about this is it's just the way that he pulls out certain sections of especially your old comics, and in similar vein to Dave's Longbox, but I think a lot of this is actually more my speed, because he looks at the Silver Age especially, and you need to read these, just because it's on his front page here. I'm scroll down a little bit, and past his normal reviews, there's also a panel from a comic wherein Lois Lane is yelling at what looks like a child with a gun, and is saying, "Get out, you midget burglar, before I call the police."
Nice.
Yeah, see, and sometimes truth is stranger than fiction, so. I'll let you go there. Yeah.
Cool. Speaking of Mike Nelson, I posted this on the Gravy Boy forum. If you are jonesing for the MST, the original MST 3K treatment of a movie, Mike Nelson, Kevin Murphy, and Bill Corbett, who you might know from MST as Mike Nelson, Crow, and Tom Servo, have gotten together. They formed a little group called the Film Crew, and they have recorded commentary tracks for really old B movies, just like they did on MST, that didn't have commentary tracks. And I think they've been released on DVD, but it's essentially the MST treatment, but without the silhouettes.
Right.
And
which, if you're missing that, you can cut out your own silhouettes.
Right. I would highly recommend that. And or build your own robot, you know, if you got the time. Ooh,
little puppets really make for a good companion when watching bad movies.
But go to, I think it's thefilmcrew.com is what I'm thinking. And I'll double check that here while I'm talking. But they've got samples where you can go and vote on which is going to be the first one they release. So they're kind of taking an internet poll to see which one they release first. And that website is, the website is filmcrewonline.com. Filmcrewonline.com. And like I said, close your eyes and just picture the silhouettes, and you're good.
Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, but it's good, you know. It's kind of cool that they keep finding ways to do what they did, you know.
Right.
It kind of lives on. So. Kind of nice. I have a story of my near-death experience in Target last week. I don't know if I told you about this.
It wouldn't be a good Comic Review Weekly without a near-death story from Brian. So let's sit back and sit by the fire and hear Brian's near-death tale of the week.
Well, I was in Target looking for some shirts and stopped by the sporting goods section. And while I'm browsing through the section that has fishing poles and all your camping supplies, I noticed a kid, kind of a little shifty-eyed teenager, walking down the aisle. And he walks down to the far end of the aisle, and it's just me and him. And I kind of, the corner of my eye, I see him doing something, like, you know, this little movement. I look down there, and he's got something in his hands, and he keeps kind of striking them together. And then he keeps looking at me, and then finally he kind of puts whatever it was down and walks off. And I kind of walk towards the end, and right there is where the propane tanks for the little camp stoves are. And he had taken, and I don't know if they just fallen out or he just taken them out. You know how you buy starter logs for your fire?
Okay.
Well, they sell them in maybe, you know, they're an inch by 5 inches little strips that have matches on the end, so you can just strike them and start them. So
right.
He was trying to start a fire at the propane tanks. with that, and he kept, and I was like, now what do I do? You know, do I just do what most of the time when I've told people this story this week, they said, hey, it's the Darwin Award winner. You should have just let him do it. But then,
you were right there.
But then, on the other hand, you've got the innocent people in the next aisle over, you know, right. And I just don't want to leave and then have the Target burned down and people burned to death, you know,
and
plus I'd have to drive like 30 minutes to a Target then,
right?
Which is my main concern. So he kept walking down the aisle, and finally I just picked up all the stuff and I went to a Target employee, which, by the way, are really hard to find.
Right, right.
And so I said, hey.
It's a French company, you know.
Oh, right, right. So I gave them to this lady who I interrupted her stocking. She didn't look too thrilled. And I said, you know, these came out of the package. And some kid was trying to light the propane tanks on fire. Thought you might want them. And she was like, oh, okay, thanks. The Target is still there, so apparently the kid... I saw him later shoot me the evil eye from as I was leaving. He was in line, I guess, with his dad.
From the sounds of it, you're lucky that's all he was shooting. So.
Right, right. Clearly he has issues.
And just in case he's listening to this, Brian's correct address is...
So if you come on down, bring it on. But I'm dodging death here. I mean, we had the Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the crazy kid with the matches and the propane tanks.
Right.
I mean, I'm scared to leave my house.
Have you seen Final Destination at all?
Which one? Final Destination one, two, or three?
The Never Ending Story.
Never Ending Story 1, 2, or 3. I think I could combine the two somehow, and Falcor's like going around killing these guys.
Right.
That'd be awesome.
Because they escaped to Treyu.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's just about all I had for this week, unless you've got any other tantalizing morsels for us.
No, I think I've talked enough today.
Okay. Well, I think that's going to do it for us. If you'd like to shoot us an email, you can email me at brian@gravyboy.com. If you'd like to shoot Andy an email, give him a hard time for not getting up with me to record, which is actually, you know, kind of my fault because I didn't really try to coordinate with him this week. Sorry, got a little busy. You can email him at andy@gravyboy.com, or you can email Marty.
At marty@gravyboy.com.
And if you're interested in indie comics and want to support indie comics, unlike Marty this week, you can check out gravyboy.com and buy some issues, stop by and say hey. Keep watching the site for the national release in your local comic shop for Gravy Boy after the first of the year.
Go bug your comic retailer.
Yes, it'll be pretty and in color. Mm-hmm. With a nice shiny cover.
Oh, you'll like it.
Oh, you will. Or else. I've got a Black Widow spider and
a propane tank.
A propane tank here with your name on it. And I'm going to send that kid over to your house.
That's right. Happy comicking, folks.